This is KFSK's Midday Magazine for Friday, October 21st. I'm Angela Dunning. A pickup truck drove into the side of Rose's Caboose early yesterday afternoon, damaging the restaurant building and injuring the driver. Ketchikan Police Department Deputy Chief Josh Dossett says the 911 call came in a little after 1 o'clock.
Both fire department and police department were dispatched to the scene, where we found a single vehicle accident, one vehicle striking almost dead center of the Rose's Caboose, knocking it off its mooring, and there was extensive damage to the building.
Rose's Caboose is a longtime popular local restaurant on North Tongass Highway in Ketchikan. The kitchen and serving area are inside a train caboose, with a separate small seating area in an adjacent building. Dossett says one employee in Rose's Caboose was reported injured in the accident, and the 31-year-old driver of the pickup truck complained of some pain. Both were taken by ambulance to Peace Health Ketchikan Medical Center for evaluation. Dossett says neither seems to be badly injured. Dossett says the cause of the accident is still under investigation, and police are not ready to release the name of the driver. He had some details of what happened, as told to police by the driver.
Looks like the vehicle was traveling into town, began to slide, according to the driver. Felt like it was beginning to slip, went into the guardrail on the north side of the parking lot, went through the parking lot, clipping a vehicle there that was in the parking lot, unoccupied, and then struck the front of Rose's Caboose.
The restaurant's Facebook page announced that the Rose's Caboose will be closed until further notice. This weekend is the 40th annual Oktoberfest Art Share here in Petersburg, an event that brings together local artists and craftspeople. The event kicks off the holiday season for shoppers looking for handmade goods, and for others, it's a place to buy a variety of homemade food. The event will take place in the community center from 10 to 3 tomorrow. It's sponsored by the Muskeg Maliers. Organizers Sally Dwyer and Polly Kieneman stopped into KFSK to talk to me about the event.
Hi, Sally Dwyer.
And Polly Kieneman.
You know, for people who are new to town and haven't actually been to the Oktoberfest and Art Share, can you describe it a little bit?
It's basically people bring things up there that are handmade and sell. So it's paintings and knittings and jewelry making and pottery and quilting and all kinds of stuff like that, plus the baked goods and canned goods and things. You can come and get good ideas for Christmas and
start
your cupboard.
Start your Christmas shopping.
It's a big kickoff of the season then.
It kind of is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tell me about what's going to be happening this year.
Well, it's the 40th annual Art Share for Petersburg. We're very excited. That's a big number. And so we've instituted a few changes this year. They're minor, but we're hoping that they'll turn out to be worthy and we'll continue them. People that have been to the Oktoberfest in the past remember the very crowded hallway with vendor booths selling bake sale items and memberships in various clubs and organizations in town. And here comes mom with the stroller and three kids, and here comes somebody with a guide dog, and all of a sudden you can't get through the hallway. So this year we have decided to put the bake sale type people in the main gym at one end altogether. And we're hoping that will help with the congestion in the hallway and keep everybody safe and happy.
There's just, what, two or three nonprofits down there?
There's four nonprofits at the far end by the high school gym that will stay. Mm-hmm. But the bake sale people that are along the hallway will actually be in the main gym.
Okay.
So they'll still be there.
And you can get to them way easier
where
they are.
Yeah, less crowded. And I think you'll be able to see their things more because you're not looking over 8 or 9 bodies deep.
And there will be lots of food as usual, probably in the activities room as well?
The activities room has 9 vendors selling food. And 3 of them will be using the barbecues to enhance their flavors, but they'll be selling inside. Barbecued grilled cheese sandwiches, which will be cooked on the barbecue, and rockfish tacos. The rockfish will be cooked on the barbecue. And I believe the heavenly hot dogs from St. Catharines are going to be boiled, cooked, and then touched on the barbecue to give them some striping and some flavor.
And do you know how many vendors you're going to have this year?
At this very day, we have 51. Some of them have 3 spaces because they have so much stuff. Some have 2. Some have just the one space. We do have half spaces, which are 4 foot. So we have a whole mix of different sizes and shapes.
But that's a really good number.
It's a very good number. Yeah.
I know you mentioned, you gave us kind of general ideas of what might be there. Do you know any specifics that people might want to know about?
Well, we have, for the children, there'll be face painting. Carrie Case will be there with her photography and calendars. Suzanne Fuqua will be there with her truffles. Maura Phillips with her quilting. Polly Kinnaman will be there with a really cool idea for kids for Christmas that she won't divulge till you come and see her at her booth. There are several people doing jewelry. Meg Tara Jones, unfortunately, is not coming this year from Oregon, and she's usually a large draw. She's got ill parents, but she said she will definitely be here next year. We have Lieve and Heidi that do the syrups and jellies and jams
cookies.
And cookies and usually some baked goods.
Mm-hmm.
In the kitchen, we have Ariel Norheim with the Little Shed Catering. We have, of course, I mentioned the St. Catherine's Heavenly Hot Dogs. We have Where ID with Thai food. Ragnarok Rollers are doing sushi. The Tsunami Bowl kids are doing Orange Julius and tamales.
And bubble tea.
Yep, Guy Lynn's doing bubble tea. We have a woman who just moved up from California doing cigar box purses. So there's a whole mix of things, and those are just off the top of my head. It's just a real nice mix. It's going to be fun to see. We have a lot of new vendors this year.
All right. Thank you both so much for letting us know all the information.
You're welcome.
Sally Dwyer and Polly Kinnaman are helping organize the 40th Annual Oktoberfest Art Share, which is happening tomorrow at the Community Center from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's sponsored by the Muskeg Maliers. Another local artist opens her first solo show in Petersburg tonight. Kelly Wood will be showing 22 drawings and paintings in India ink and acrylic paint. Her pieces range in size from a couple of inches square up to a couple of feet wide and are inspired by the marine life and waterfront scenes Wood sees during her job as an assistant crab biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Joe Vicknicki spoke with Wood about her show.
It was a new thing for me. I normally draw on paper, and for the show I switched it up a little bit, so it's been bit of a learning curve for me, and also it's been kind of fun, and now I really enjoy drawing on wood now, and I think that might be my new thing.
Has that been freeing up for you? Or?
Yeah, definitely.
And is this your first solo show?
It is, yeah. Uh-huh, it is indeed. It's a little bit different for me.
A little scary?
very scary, yeah. Normally I sit behind a desk, behind a computer, crunching numbers, so to be out here like this, it's very different.
Have you been doing artwork for very long, or is it something you're getting into? Or
I guess I've always been kind of a doodler since I was probably in second grade. I remember getting in trouble all the time for doodling all my homework.
You too, huh?
Yeah. But and then my grandmother, she's a very talented artist, and so in the summers she used to make me go out and draw trees and that kind of thing. And then in high school, I did it quite a bit, and then I kind of put it to rest until about a year ago, and I just started back up again, and this is the result.
Well, it's beautiful. I'm looking at your designs are very intricate. Some of them are black and white, but there's a couple pieces that you've started to bring some color into.
Yeah, that's definitely been an experiment for me. The main piece itself are black and white, but I've been experimenting with color in the background. I've had a lot of comments about, why don't you put color in there? And this is the closest thing I'm comfortable with, so.
Yeah, but it looks like you have incredible fun going in with the tiny details of sea life.
I'm a very detailed-oriented person, yeah. So I think a little bit of my science background came out in the details.
We have one piece right in front of us, which is the killer whale, and it's got everything on there that you can imagine that's on the surface of the ocean, I think, on its front.
Yeah, I go out on crab surveys twice a year, and I see a lot of these things come up on deck in our pots, and I guess you could say it inspired my work quite a bit. I do drawing at night when we're out on the surveys, things I've seen, and so you'll definitely see some of that in my art.
How do you develop an image? Do you have to sketch it out initially?
Yeah, I draw the main part of it, so like the killer whale, I draw the outline of the killer whale, and then I freehand everything after that, or by freehand, I mean I just go directly with ink. I don't pencil out all the little details first, I just go for it.
Let that happen.
I do. Okay. Yeah.
And you have also a couple landscapes or street scenes as well, and there's one big black and white with Devil's Thumb and the waterfront.
Yes. Cool. It's called Cannery Row. I'm really inspired by a lot of the unique buildings around Petersburg and the canneries. You'll see the canneries in my art quite a bit. I just love when you're out on the water in the sound or in the Narrows and looking at Petersburg, just all the canneries lined up. And then in that piece I try to include every possible vessel that we've seen through our waters. So a little bit of sea life in there as well.
That's amazing. And it almost looks like you've gone through and sketched individual trees, which is something I can't do.
I guess that goes back to when my grandmother made me go out and draw trees. My big Petersburg print, which I don't have the original here, but it's kind of what got things started for me. I did actually draw about 3,000 individual tiny trees, and that was, I was seeing them in my dreams.
Wow, I imagine so.
Go ahead.
No, that must be, it's therapeutic for you, I imagine.
It is, yeah. You know, after a long day of work, and I'm also working on my master's right now, so this is really a stress relief for me. And it didn't originally start out as something that would go public, but it slowly became that way.
Cool.
And another thing you'll notice is octopus are my favorite animal, and you'll see little bits of octopus in most of my drawings, not all of them, but even the big Petersburg print, you'll see some octopus arms in there. So they're kind of secretly included in a lot of them.
That's your signature animal there, your spirit animal?
Yeah, my spirit animal, yeah. Maybe not so much the Petersburg houses, but a lot of my marine scenes will have them.
Again, that was artist Kelly Wood, and her show opens tonight at Miele Gallery from 5 to 7 p.m. Earlier this month, a Skagway business owner became the first in the state to get the final go-ahead to sell marijuana, but she can't open quite yet. KHNS's Abby Collins reports from Haines.
A retail marijuana store is ready to open its doors in Skagway, but it's waiting on one major detail, the pot. Tara Bass is the owner of the Remedy Shop, a red and white building on Skagway's 3rd Street. Earlier this month, it became the first business of its kind in the state to pass its final inspection and receive a license to open. Several other businesses around Alaska have been given state and city approval, but Bass is the first to pass the final inspection. Local regulations require a conditional use permit to open in Skagway's business general zone, and Bass received that permit in April. There's one holdup, though, and that is right now Bass cannot stock her shelves. She's still waiting on testing facilities to open once they get the final go-ahead from the state's Marijuana Control Office. Bass did not want to be recorded for this story, but she says she could open tomorrow if she had the product. She plans to buy marijuana from the local licensed cultivator Coyote and Toad's Garden. Bass and her husband run the Mile Zero Bed and Breakfast in town. Originally, she planned to turn her downtown location, previously owned by her parents, into a pharmacy. Instead, it was a vacation rental for several years. Then, she started looking into marijuana after Alaska voted to legalize it in 2014. Bass says she feels there's a need for a retail store, and she doesn't look at it any differently than alcohol. There are several rules about where pot shops can be located. For instance, they have to be at least 500 feet from schools and churches. Bass realized that her building was a sweet spot. She also feels it's a good fit for the community and says she's gotten a lot of positive feedback. The Remedy Shop is the product of several years of work, and Bass says she's grateful for the support she's gotten from her community. She doesn't have a set opening date. It all depends on when the other pieces fall into place. Reporting in Haines, I'm Abby Collins.
Well, it is Friday, October the 21st, and that means it's time for our Stocks Report with Dan Berg. He's a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors in Bellevue, Washington, and he's joining us now by telephone. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Angela. Sorry about my voice. It's kind of a coldish weather around here, and I'm a victim.
Well, things have been going around here, too. I think it might be the season. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Well, we'll try to get through this stocks report.
Unfortunately, the stock market has not caught cold.
Good. Okay. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we've really had sort of a flat week. Most of it's been dominated by earnings results, which I'll get to in just a moment. But first, about the U.S. Economic outlook. Every so often, the Federal Reserve Banks issue what's called a Beige Book survey, and it's a national survey, region by region. And the survey results were really pretty good. The quotation was modest to moderate growth throughout most of the country. And they also noticed that there has been some wage growth finally, which is something we've discussed a little bit. So the Beige Book summary was pretty good. Nothing to set the world on fire, as we've been talking about, but good. The other thing which came out is the Consumer Price Index. And the CPI was up 0.3% in September. But the interesting number was the year-on-year number. For quite a while now, we've had virtually no inflation, with some things going up in price, other things falling, like energy. But this time, year-on-year, it was up 1.5%. That's the most it's been since 2014. And that may be that other prices are rising, such as rents, and energy has stopped going down. So that's an important data point for thinking about future interest rates. Speaking of interest rates over in the EU, the European Central Bank had a meeting. They're going to continue their cheap money, and they will probably continue their bond-buying program. It's not clear, but chances are that they will. And so that's led to a little bit stronger U.S. dollar vis-a-vis the European euro right now. So for the week, the Dow Jones closed at 18,145. That's only a 7-point gain over the week, almost unchanged. The NASDAQ did a little bit better. That closed at 5,257. That was a 43-point gain, and not a bad showing for the NASDAQ. And the S&P was slightly higher at 2,141. Oil closed at $50.89 for West Texas, next month's delivery. That's about a 40-cent gain. But the interesting news in oil, and you'll be glad to hear this up in Alaska, U.S. stockpiles have started dropping somewhat. And that's something that wouldn't be expected this time of year. And also, the Saudi oil minister said he was fairly optimistic about getting some sort of production caps. And both the Iranians and the Russians seem agreeable. So oil has settled above $50 a barrel for now. We'll see what happens. Over in the bond market, there's very little change. The 30-year bond is at 2.49 and the 10-year at 1.74, virtually unchanged on the week.
All right. Well, thanks for that information. What about individual stocks this week?
Well, individual stocks, we just got lots of fireworks. Let's start with Reynolds American, which is the large tobacco company. They have a buyout offer from British American Tobacco, which is the second largest tobacco company on the planet. Tobacco is still big business. They're buying a little over half the company, but just a little over half is worth $47 billion. RIA is the symbol that did very well today on that buyout announcement. Another pleasant surprise was from American Express, symbol AXP. That stock has done fairly poorly over the last year or so, and it suffered because Costco moved their credit card business away from American Express to Visa. However, AXP was up 9% today to $67.36 on a very nice earnings report. In the tech area, one punk announcement was from Intel, symbol INTC. They beat earnings, but their outlook is fairly muted, so that dropped to $35.10, a fairly bad week for Intel. Banks in general are doing pretty well. J.P. Morgan, the largest one, symbol JPM, closed at $68.49. That was a very nice number. Bank of America and some others had some good numbers this week also. United Health, symbol UNH, which is the largest private health insurer, also beat earnings. That was up to $145.37. General Electric, not so much, symbol GE. They lowered their expectations, and that stock has slipped decisively below $30 a share again to $28.98. But in Northwest stocks, we had a very nice day, and so everybody owning Microsoft stock, check your statements, because Microsoft was up almost 5% today to $59.74 on a great earnings report. Microsoft and Amazon are the two leading companies in the cloud, which is moving software services and applications to databases which these companies run for other companies. And their product Azure nearly doubled sales during the quarter, so that's why Microsoft is so happy today. And then finally, Alaska Airlines announced earnings, and they must have noticed all the flights I've taken. ALK closed at $74.56, a solid earnings number, and they joined other airlines with some fairly good numbers.
Okay. Well, thanks for that. And then now what about next week? Anything on the horizon?
Well, we're in the middle of earnings season, so we'll have a lot of companies' earnings to talk about. But next week we're going to get an interesting data point regarding gross domestic product, both in the European Union and the U.S. It's the first look at how the third quarter has been going. And there is hope on both sides of the pond that the third quarter has a little bit better growth rate than the first half of the year, which is somewhat disappointing. And then for company earnings, Apple will definitely move the market. So will Google. There's also Coca-Cola, AT&T, and that sexy stock named Tesla. That will be in there.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Dan, for all that information this week, and I hope you feel better.
Yeah, thank you. I'll have a restful weekend.
Okay, take care. We'll talk to you again next Friday.
Thank you.
Dan Berg is a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors in Bellevue, Washington.
Listeners are reminded that the information provided is general in nature and may not apply to their personal investment situation. Individuals should consult with their chosen financial professional before making any decisions. Investment products and services are offered through Wells Fargo Advisors, LLC, member of SIPC. Neither Wells Fargo Advisors nor its financial professionals are legal or tax advisors.
I'm Angela Denning. This wraps up KFSK's Midday Magazine. Thanks for listening.